the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And maybe where you are, it's a good afternoon or a good evening, but we just want to welcome you to the Lord's Day where we come and we worship Him.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuller. This is Robert Schuller. This is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. This is our 8 a.m. Pacific time church service, and we have a live one at 10 a.m. down at the Newport Beach Civic Center. We meet in a beautiful community room. So if you're anywhere close in Southern California, you still have, you have plenty of time, actually, to get down to the Civic Center in Newport Beach, California. It's right off MacArthur, very accessible, and we have a live church service. We have a great group of people, and the thing is, you'll get to know them well because it's not a huge church like we used to pastor.
Yeah.
And the good news is we have once a month, we have church dinners, family dinners, where everybody participates. We have a Sunday school class today that starts at 9:15 p.m. It's for adults. And it's a follow-up on My Jesus Plan, which a couple from our church has taught many, many times, and they finished a six-week class just a few months ago. So it'll be a time for everybody to come a little bit early to church, 9:15 to 10. Again, it's for adults, and then we start at 10 a.m. our service. So good morning.
You good got morning. Our announcements in.
I got, you know, I want to say them a couple of times, so I. Because okay. I need to remember.
I love it. It's so important. Here we are, and it's a time to come before God and worship. And so let's worship Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time where we can come together. We can feel Your presence. We can feel Your spirit. We can feel Your love. And so, God, we know that You love us, that You care for us, that You have a plan for us. And our plan is to turn from evil towards good, to turn from from sin to forgiveness, to turn from the poles of society to the understanding of Your reality for us. And so we thank You, Lord, for this time. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for everything. We love You, Lord, always and forever. Amen.
Amen. So, I'm going to read the scripture in a little bit, but I think we should talk about next week and where we'll be for our service next week.
I haven't actually looked at our schedule to find out where we're going to be, but it'll probably be from either Jerusalem. It will be from either Jerusalem or Galilee. And that's where we'll be doing our service from next week.
We're leaving for the Holy Land.
So
we're looking forward to it. And we, a couple of you have asked, well, who's holding down the fort? Well, you know, first of all, this is our office here. And, you know, we're kind of busy 24/7. If we're not here, there's people all around doing various things, not our staff, but other staff and other security and stuff like that. And anyway, this is our home office and things are going to keep going as usual. We have an amazing person to preach for Robert next Sunday at 10 a.m. live. Her name is Pastor Amy Cardiff. She's spoken before. I look at her as a little sister. She's very outgoing, very outspoken. She's very cute, and she knows the Bible. She's a great speaker. Unfortunately, you won't see her on here, but you'll see us somewhere from the Holy Land. So we're looking forward to that, and it'll be a lot of, it'll just be an amazing trip. We're taking, there's 17 of us going. So it'll be a fantastic trip to take people through and, you know, follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So anyway, I'm sorry if those of you wanted to go that didn't get your reservation in on time. And I don't know when we're going to go again. So
I suspect this is the last time I'll be leading a tour to the Holy Land. I don't know why I would be leading a tour again. It's
a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And and I've been so many times, and this is a...
What year is this that you've been? How many
I've
years?
I've been doing this for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
And so it's been... It's I love going. And the good news about us...
It's the best place in the world. Why is it that... You know, I tell everybody, it makes Europe look boring. We've been all over. We've been to every continent, and we may have missed one continent. I'm thinking of, I don't know, Greenland.
Antarctica.
And we haven't been to Antarctica, but we've been all over the world. We've been to some really exciting places. We've been all over the Middle East. We've been all over
Africa,
Asia. This is by far by far the most exciting trip you can go on. It's rich, obviously rich in spiritual, you know, Christian, Judeo-Christian heritage. But besides that, it's not all sand dunes and things. In fact, I was looking up our hotels because we haven't been there in a while. I don't think you've even looked at these hotels.
I haven't. Had
I didn't recognize any of the names. And Robert's like, well, it's probably changed in the last 12 years.
Yeah, they have.
So sure. The hotels are just really nice. But if, I mean, have a look. There's a movie out now on Israel. And it's.
There's lots of movies out on Israel.
No, there's a brand new one out.
A brand new one?
Yes. And I've actually posted it on our
okay.
social media before. But it's rich in fertile lands. They grow grapes, they grow crops, they grow, it's rolling hills, it's the ocean, it's beautiful, beautiful architectural, ancient architectural buildings. And so anyway, if you miss this trip, you're going to want to go sometime in your lifetime, because if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, or if you're a Jew for that matter, you're going to want to go. You need to go. You must go. And I'm not promoting it.
It's a pilgrimage. It's not more than it is a vacation.
Yeah.
And it's a spiritual pilgrimage. And so you probably take vacation time to do this, but it is a time of spiritual enrichment and spiritual growth. And you get closer to God like you can't even believe, because you're literally on the sites where God performed all these miracles. And where Jesus did all of his teaching. So it's going to be we're going to have a fabulous time. We're sorry more of you couldn't come.
And now you believe us because we're not promoting the tour.
Yeah, exactly.
For those of you that thought we were just trying to sell it, no, it's really incredible. It's just hitting me that we're leaving soon. And I'm finally like, wow, we're actually going back there. It's like, and the older I get, the more I appreciate it, really.
Yeah.
So should we talk about this a little bit? Because
fearless.
And then
women.
Or do you want me to read, because usually I read the scripture and then I leave.
So but let's talk about it. Here's Donna's book.
It's an
book.
Important thing for the ministry.
It's Donna's book, Fearless Women. Stick your head off to the side, Donna. You can still say yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's it.
I gotta try. Whoa.
That doesn't work.
There it is. There it is.
Transform negative emotions into positive realities.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it's about.
So, that's the book.
How do you take your negative emotions? We all have them. They start when we're little and they add up and they fill up our barrels until we got to get rid of them. And the sooner you can get rid of those negative emotions, those triggers that make you think of all the bad things that happened in your life, of all the sad things, of some of the tragic things, the sooner you can learn to reprocess and reprogram your mind, you will have a positive, wonderful, Jesus-filled life. And if you don't get rid of those things, it doesn't matter what you do. It just, God's love won't penetrate your heart. So this is 40 stories, 40 short stories with a prayer at the end of each chapter. Well, first of all, it has a scripture at the beginning of each chapter. It's right here. Scripture at the beginning of each chapter. And then a place to pray and ponder at the end. So it's a book about, even though it's 40 short stories, it's about going deeper into your faith and who you are. And I use tell-all stories, a lot of them, about my past, lest you think, I led a perfect life and was just always just toting the Bible around and had no issues and no problems. I had a lot of things I overcame to become a fearless woman.
So when I married Donna, I didn't marry the preacher's daughter or the perfect woman in the church. Instead, I married a wild flight attendant. And
pretty much. Yeah, I was a flight attendant and a model.
Yeah.
Most of my life.
And,
so,
the maturity that I've seen from her over the last 30 some odd years.
We've been married 39. So we've known each other 39 years.
It's been a remarkable and beautiful watch.
Yeah, we're going on 40.
Yeah.
So it's a long time. But anyway, this book has a lot of meat in it and a lot of truth of how we can start out as a fearful person, but we can develop with God's help, with Jesus at the center of our life, how we can develop our courage, basically, our courage. And it has everything to do with faith. So please order this book. We didn't tell them how. You can get Donna Shuler, Fearless Women, just by, you can You can just type it into your search bar. And by the way, all the money goes straight into the ministry account. I love it. That's one thing I love about Amazon. It is on Amazon. Is I don't have to do any accounting. They've done it all for me. The only reason I have a few here is we're going to a music festival the end of July, and they want me to bring some books. So that's what I'm going to do. But anyway, just type Donna Schuler, Fearless Woman, into your search bar, Google search bar, and it will lead you to the page where you can order it, and it'll come within 3 days. And if you live locally, I'll even sign it for you.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, that's about that. I think that's all the announcements. Okay. Come to church, 9:15 today, Sunday school, and then church at 10.
Perfect. Why don't you read your scripture?
I'd love to do that. Okay, today's scripture reading is from Psalm 91. And these are beautiful words that are something that we need to wrap our mind around and keep remembering. So here are these words from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for these words. Thank you for the reminder that you protect us, that even when we're not aware of it, most times we're not aware of it. God, thank you for being there always and for us saying yes to you. We need to continue to say yes. Sometimes it's a daily job. Sometimes it's an hourly thing when we're going through tough times. But Lord, you're there for us. You shield us. You will not let things harm us. We need to keep focused on you, God, especially in this world that is just so chaotic and uncertain. And Lord, I as we start seeing in the United States political candidates, presidential candidates that are coming up, Lord, may we choose this person in the next year and a half that has you at the center of their life, and that also has others, that has the ability to unite and not to divide, that has the ability to bring people together and share in their commonalities and not in their differences, Lord. I just pray right now for each and every person who's got that calling to become the leader of this country, the United States of America, and for all leaders worldwide, that these worldwide leaders would be called by you, that they would be bold enough to stand up to tyranny, to things that are not of you, to things that are an abomination to you, Lord. I just pray right now for these people that are brave enough, that are fearless enough to want to lead in this chaotic time in history. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for guarding us and protecting us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So come on back.
I'm right here.
Okay.
I
like your pink shirt. Look at his pink shirt. I forget. Where'd you get that?
I got this. A friend of ours bought this for me at the vintage club. Club.
Oh, that's what it is.
And the Rendezvous was a golf tournament that they had there. So this shirt was on sale.
And then
on sale and again, and then on sale again. So it was.
That's right.
It was a nice shirt that was very reasonably priced.
And we didn't buy it. You didn't buy it.
Yeah, but if I was, that's the way I buy it.
We have nice friends who do nice things for us. So I forgot. That's what's so pretty. And look, I am colorful, but we kind of match.
Kind of clash, too.
No, we don't.
You got the
dark. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Bye, everybody. If you can, make it to church at 9:50. What?
Do you want to talk about the offering?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, I think you can participate in it.
Okay.
So we do collect an offering here every Sunday. And the reason we collect an offering is not, this is a surprise you, it's not because we need those offerings to support our ministry. We do it because you need to give. And you need to decide what ministry is using the gifts of God to the highest advantage. To proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, where are you getting your spiritual growth? And give your tithe, which is 10% of your income, to whatever ministries are doing what you believe is God's work in the kingdom. And so we hope that you'll see the value of this ministry and our word and support us. And if you wish to, here's a QR code. If you've got a cell phone handy and you want to take a picture of that, that will take you directly to our webpage, and you can make a donation that way. The other way you can make a donation is by writing us. And what's the address?
26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. If you miss that, you go to our website, which is drschuler.org. I need to spell that because we have closed captioning on some of our social platforms, and it changes it to spell it longhand. But obviously, when you go to a website, it's short. It's drschuler.org, drschuller.org, drschuler.org. Or you can go to robertschulerministries.org if that's easier. When you get to our webpage, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, it says, I'd like to give. Just click on that. It'll lead you to the same place as the QR code does. And if you want to give via check, you can scroll to the bottom of the homepage of the website. You'll see our address again, which is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And, you know, we appreciate those of you that support our ministry. Like Robert said, you don't support a ministry because they need the money, even though we do. We, you know, obviously we live in a flesh and blood world. We have all kinds of, you know, material expenses like everybody in life. And this is what we do. We're pastors. So it does help us, but it helps you more because it shows God that you are so grateful. And I love what you said, that wherever you're getting your spiritual enrichment, please decide to give to them, tithe to them. Not because you feel obligated, but because you're grateful to God and God's and the people that God's put in your life to hopefully lift you up and give you some spiritual nourishment. So we appreciate it. Did I miss anything? Oh, we have a Venmo account, Robert Schuler Ministries. Just remember Robert Schuler Ministries. You can put it in a Google search bar and everything we do will come up, our podcast, our Sunday morning service, everything. And that we do a lot, and we've done a lot, and we've been around a lot, yeah. A long time. So God loves you, so do we.
Okay.
I'm going to go walk the dog.
Walk the dog. Make me a green drink.
Okay.
Or what you can, as far as that's concerned. And anyway, we will
resume.
Yeah, we'll resume because
I'm back to the service.
Yeah, back to the service. I'm gonna give a little message here because I think we need. To understand more about the Bible, we need to understand more about the kingdom of God. We need to understand more about God and our relationship with Him. We can never know too much. I think most people would agree with that. There is no limit to what we can know in a lifetime. It has been said that if you put all the books that are about the Bible and all of the different words that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did, there isn't a library big enough to hold the words and the materials and the reactions to the impact that Jesus had on this planet. So anyway, I am always looking for different ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what I'm doing for the first time, I was ordained in 1980 and became a member of the Reformed Church of America and was given this book. It's called Litany and Psalms. And in here is all kinds of orders of worship for the burial of the dead, for patriotic services, for someone who is a Christian then they die, some a child. So there's all kinds of services, marriage services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then there's some scriptures in here and prayers. And one of the things they have in here is 4 years worth of sermons. It goes through the church calendar and gives you these 4 years of sermons. Well, I've never gone through they're called lectionaries. I've never gone through the lectionaries of the Reformed Church. Now, this book, the history of this book goes back to almost 400 years. We'll celebrate our 400th year anniversary in just a couple years. It was started here in the United States in 1626, incorporated in the Netherlands and in the United States. And it's been around forever, and it's never ceased to exist. And these churches continue to this day. The Marble Collegiate Church in New York, and the collegiate means several churches together. In fact, there's 5 churches on Manhattan, Reformed churches on Manhattan. And they all date back to 1626, a long time ago. And so anyway, I've decided that I'm going to go through the lectionary, and I've been doing that. And the topic for today's sermon, according to the lectionary of the Reformed Church in America, is Romans 2, verses 11 through 29. And then also what they include is the questions from the Heidelberg Catechism. You're going, what in the world is a Heidelberg Catechism? What in the world are you talking about? Catechism is just a fancy word for a Sunday school lesson or a teaching. That's all it is. Heidelberg is the name of a city. In fact, I took a picture of it. It's halfway between Frankfurt Frankfurt and Stuttgart. And here's a picture of the city, just a beautiful little town. And I've never been there. If I was traveling through Germany a couple years ago, and if I had to do it over again, I would stop there. I've never seen the city before, but I pulled this up because I was curious and said, I'll go and share with everybody. Just a beautiful little place. It was there that the Heidelberg Catechism was written. And it was written a long time ago. It was written in 1563. So that's 650 years ago. These lessons were written. And the first question, I've memorized the answer because it's such a beautiful response to one of the most critical questions we have. And I'm going to read it to you today. It says, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I may belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil. That he protects me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair on my head can fall, and indeed that everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Isn't that a beautiful answer to a question? The rest of the answers and the rest of the questions aren't as long and quite frankly aren't necessarily as beautiful, but they're also succinct and astute. So the second question, I'm going to go through five of the questions in the Heidelberg Catechism, which consists of, let me make sure I have it, which consists of 129 questions. I'm going to read five of them. The second one says, how many things must you know that you may live and die in the blessedness of this comfort? You know, what is thy only comfort in life and death? The next question is, what do you need to know in order to experience this comfort? And it is three. First, the greatness of my sin. Secondly, the wretchedness of my sin. First, the greatness of my sin and wretchedness. And secondly, how I am freed from all my sins and their wretched consequences. And third, with gratitude I owe to God for some such redemption. Historically, this question has been answered with a three-part rhyming, basically, or easy to remember outline, which is guilt, grace, and gratitude. And I have used that outline to preach 100 sermons. And today, our text, which is in Romans 2:11-29, is summed up in these three words: guilt, grace, and gratitude. The second question we have here in the Heidelberg Catechism is summed up with these three words: guilt, grace, and gratitude. Those three words sum up, in many ways, the entire Bible. God gave us his word, this Bible, from beginning to end. If you want to sum up what is the whole Bible all about, the easiest way for me to sum it up for you and for you to comprehend what this is all about is guilt, grace, and gratitude. That's what it's all about. We are all guilty. We have failed. The human heart is such that it does not have the ability. And when you read Romans, you will see Paul talking about this. Last week, I talked about Paul. I talked about Rome a little bit. And Paul writes these letters to the Jews and the Christians in Rome. And he basically says that the law is there to show us that we need the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the summary of his writing to the Romans in this passage. We need the grace of Jesus Christ, and the law is there to point us to allow us to see our sin and allow us to see the fact that we need a Savior, because we are experiencing in the United States of America today what happens when we take God out of our school system? What happens when we take God out of our culture? What happens when we take God out of our lives? I had dinner with a friend of mine just recently. His name's Richard. And he was saying, I couldn't believe it. I was at a Nordstrom's Rack in Brea. Brea is a nice area in Orange County. It's civil. It's not considered a hostile area. People there don't think about being mugged or worried about circumstances or being held up or something. He says, I was there, and as I was there, I heard all of the bells to the entrance of the store start ringing because somebody was carrying something out of the store. And he turned around, and he said, there was a man carrying a half a dozen designer bags. And he was just strolling right out of the store without paying for any of them. And all the bells were going off, and he just kept on walking. Well, Richard happens to be an attorney. He also happens to be a deputy sheriff. He actually has a badge given to him by the County of Orange. He's in the County of Orange. So he follows this man with his camera, taking pictures, takes pictures of his car, takes pictures of his license plate in order to turn him in, because nobody in the store blinked an eye as this man walked out with what looked like the retail value of the goods that he stole looked like several thousand dollars. And nobody blinked an eye. Nobody tried to stop him. He just kept walking. So Richard decides maybe he can have an impact. He called then the sheriff's department. And he knows everybody there because, again, he's a sheriff. And a deputy sheriff, he's not armed. He does have a carry permit, but he wasn't armed and he wasn't going to confront the man. And so he turned it into the sheriff's department and they said, Richard, there's very little we can do. Our hands are tied. And that was the end of the story. He says, I was really upset by that. And since it's told me, I'm upset by it. Why? Because we are watching the degradation of civilization and our culture and our society in the United States of America. And it's not just happening in the big cities where there's tremendous poverty, but it's happening right here in middle-class neighborhoods in America, in Orange County, a conservative county in California. And it's happening right here. How do we deal with this lawlessness? How do we deal with this understanding that I'm entitled to just take whatever I want from any store I want, and nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to walk out and drive away, and the police aren't going to arrest me, and everything's good and fine and dandy. How do we deal with that? We have to deal with it on a spiritual level. We have to deal with it first and foremost in our public schools, where we're raising children to believe that there is no God. And in our public schools, we have to go back and we have to start bringing in the Bible, and we have to bring in prayer, and we have to let them know that God loves you, that God cares for you, that God has a plan for you, and it's not a plan based in sin and based in lawlessness and based in disregard for culture and for other people. If you go and read Romans 2, you'll know what I'm talking about. Paul specifically says that Jesus is here to bring us hope and joy and goodness. I want to read some more for you, another summary of our passage today. And the summary I'm reading is from Galatians 3. And it starts, I'm reading with verses 23 through 29. It says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was put in charge of us until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. You say, what in the world are you? I just can't follow this. And let me come back to what I was saying earlier. This passage of scripture is saying the same thing. Guilt, grace, and gratitude. We are all guilty. We do not have the ability to live up to the laws of God physically and, more importantly, spiritually. Our hearts need the grace of Jesus Christ. We are guilty, guilt, grace. We need the grace of Jesus Christ, who comes and pays the ransom for our sin and our failure. And he comes and he says, anyone who will believe in me shall have life, so that our faith becomes our salvation when we put our faith in Jesus and in his words for us. We are guilty, but through grace, Jesus pays our fines for us. Jesus pays for our sins. And then we continue to live to the best of our ability in gratitude for what Christ has done for us. We still, in spite of our faithfulness, in spite of our desire to live by the law, will come short. We do not have the ability to live according to the law. And so in Romans, we see three different things taking place here. First of all, the first verses 12 through 16 says we are all under the law. Verses 17 through 24 says we all sin and fall short of the law. And number three, and then the last verses 25 through 29 deals with the judgment of God and an example of people trying to live according to the laws of God. And it stops there. But what it begins with is God's impartiality. It starts off in verse 11 by saying that God is impartial to everything that we have, that he loves everybody, that there isn't a person on planet Earth he does not want to redeem. And it begins with us as sinners coming before God, professing our sin to him, and then allowing his grace to cover our sin with his glory. And then in faith, living to the best we can. And we fail again, but we continue to recognize our sin, continue to try and improve, and continue to live for God in faith, with gratitude. Guilt, grace, and gratitude. That is the message this morning. That's the message I want you to hear. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message that Paul gives in Rome. That's the message that we have through the Heidelberg Catechism. And I said I was going to read the rest of the questions, so let me read the other. I'm going to read three more questions. They're very short and easy to understand. Where do you learn of your sin and its wretched consequences? For the law of God. And what does the law of God require of us? Jesus Christ teaches that in a summary in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. And the fifth question that I want to address today is, can you keep all this perfectly? Can we keep the laws of God? The answer, of course, is no. For by nature, I am prone to hate God and my neighbor. That is the natural course of humanity. Our natural innate understanding is a sinful nature. It is this nature of greed. Out of fear, we always need more. There's never a satisfaction. We never have comfort until we come to the fact that the grace of Jesus Christ will bring us comfort, us hope, and joy. And then in gratitude, we live to the best of our ability, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. And one day at a time, just today, we live to the best of our ability. And then we love our neighbors, and we forgive those who hurt us. This is our message today. That's the message that has been resounding through the centuries. Ever since Jesus Christ came to this earth and shared his messages, in Galilee and through and Jerusalem and throughout the world. It is for us to hear and to adhere and to follow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the ability to seek you. And as we seek you and your, may we experience that you love us, that your love reaches to every human being on planet Earth who will come before you and ask for forgiveness. There is no one on planet Earth who is too sinful for your grace to abound. And so, oh God, we pray that men and women everywhere will hear this call, will respond, and will choose to start living a life of gratitude for your gift to them and to us. And so we profess our faith in you right now. We confess our sins, and we say thank you, Lord, for everything. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace in your lying down and your rising up, your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Go to Amazon, order Donna's book, give it to a woman or a daughter or a niece or someone you know that can really benefit from experiencing some spiritual growth. And God will bless you and them. Have a great day. Bye-bye.